old and mine different. And God, we are so thankful, God, for this church body that we share our lives together, our hardships, but also our celebrations, and we're able to, God, point in the direction of you, God, for the people of y'all. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. When I was younger, I played on many sports teams, and you know, when you're involved in sports, there's always those during the week time, you know, before the games, you'd always have lots of practices. You know, sometimes once, twice, or sometimes even more times a week, you go to practice, and there's the warm-ups, there's the practices, and the goal is to, you know, to build up strength and conditioning and just the agility and the awareness of the game situations and all the plays and all those sorts of things, because the season is a long season, and the coaches want the players to be prepared for the long season, and so the practices are preparation for the end goal to win and have successful seasons and get to the playoffs and the championship, that sort of thing. And so when you're in sports, you have to, as a player, you have to start with the end in mind. Also, when I was in high school, not only had opportunity to be involved in sports, they required you to take a language. How many of you have taken a foreign language? Yeah, lots of you out there. Wow, that's very impressive. I endured a couple years. I endured a couple years of Spanish. I had the options to choose. You know, there's French or Spanish, or a couple other options. Can't really remember what they were, but I chose Spanish and did two years of that. And some years later, I haven't retained very much at all of Spanish. And you know how that is, right? And one of the reasons why is because, you know, in those languages, if you don't use them, you lose them. And so, for me, I think if I had more intentional purpose behind learning Spanish than just the mere academic part to graduate, if I had, like, a friend or some people that I know who spoke Spanish, I would have retained it more. We would have been able to converse. We would have been able to get to know each other. I'm a very relational person. So, you know, the purpose of being able to communicate with somebody else would have helped me retain Spanish. But you have to, in languages, you know, to retain that, you have to start with the end in mind. My wife and I, this coming summer, we're about to celebrate 10 years. We didn't start having children until about 6 years into marriage and things. And I can remember when we first got pregnant. And isn't that always interesting how men, when we talk about that, we say we got pregnant? Like, you know, there's a component to that, obviously, we had. But the pregnant part, not so much. You know, that's always interesting. But so when we got pregnant, at first, you know, we thought, okay, this is great. You know, we're going to start a family finally, and we're excited about this. And then next thing you know, there's all the doctor's visits, and you got to take time off work. You got to go to all the doctors. You got to make sure that, and then she gets to go on a specific diet to make sure she gets all these pregnant pills, you know, and all this stuff, you know, that deals with pregnancy, you know. Not to mention that I learned that that she's not growing, that the baby's growing. That was a very important lesson for me. So just all the components of pregnancy, you know, if you're in the middle of it, it's trying, you know, it's hard, you know. But even in labor, and there's a reason why they call it labor, you know. Even in labor, it was just an amazing process of how it all worked out, you know. But in the end, you know, to have our little girl, I mean, so very precious, so just adorable to us. We're so blessed with three little ones, three little girls, and just amazing process there. But, you know, in pregnancy, you know, to be able to get through it, endure, you know, you have to start with the end in mind. A life is very much about that. Starting to get through it, you have to start with the end in mind. You have to understand your purpose in life. Life is so much about discovery and exploration and a journey. You have to start and do those things with the end in mind. And to understand a little bit more about our purposes as individuals and as a church, as we've been looking at several different core values for the Christian life and for our church, this is very much so as well, as to start with the end in mind. And it's with these two core values of praise and prayer. Praise and prayer. We've used the acronym of the word gospel for each of these core values. G was God, to know God, and He's the greatest treasure. O was others, to know others, to love others, though, that as a person who's received God's love and who knows God's love, we know why we're here. It's for the purpose of others, to love others and to be a blessing to them. S was, we looked at last week, of spiritual growth, that we value spiritual growth and being staying connected to the vine, that it, as Jesus said, if any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And God's greatest desire for his children is to bear fruit, is to grow spiritually. And so S was spiritual growth, that we value that. And today we're looking at the core value of praise and prayer, the act of our lives giving worship to God. There's a corporate nature, not just a personal nature to our spirituality of spiritual growth personally, but there's a corporate nature of praying and praising God in our lives. And so today, as we look at these core values of praise and prayer, it's very important that we understand that each of these, both of these, require us to start with the end in mind for praise and prayer. If you look at them individually and you forget to start with the end in mind, it really, praise and prayer don't make a lot of sense. Sometimes when you're going through life, it's difficult to pray. Sometimes when you got things going on, circumstances or whatever's going on, it's difficult to pray. It's difficult to give praise to God. But to be able to really have these as a value, an emphasis in your life, you have to start with the end in mind. Think about Jesus' life. Start with the end in mind in Jesus' life. To the best of our knowledge, he lived about 30-some years before he began his public ministry. God sent his son, born of a woman, born of a virgin, and it was God incarnate. And he lived his life for 30-some years that we have very, very little record about. I mean, there's one little story, one little incident, something when he was like a teenager, and that's about it, you know. And so we really don't hear anything for 30 years of this man's life, Christ. And then he begins his public ministry of teaching and healing and interacting with individuals, and we have the Gospels that account for those major 3 years of his life. And of course, we know that at the end of his life, as Christians, the most important thing to us is the Gospel, that Christ died for our sins. And in addition, 3 days later, that he was resurrected, and how that transforms our lives. That is the Gospel. That is our hope. That's why we worship God, is for the Gospel. And so to be able to understand Jesus' life, you have to start with the end in mind for Jesus' life. But what about those 30 years prior to his public ministry and the Gospel of Christ dying and resurrecting himself? What about those previous 30 years? What went on there? I want to suggest to you that that those 30 years are not to be discounted. I want to suggest to you that those 30 years that we have very little record of are very important to these last 3 years, and of course to the Gospel, because they were preparatory for Jesus becoming and being and doing the things that he did for us as Christians. And I want to suggest that these core values of prayer and praise were highly significant in his life, in those, especially in those early 30 years of his life. And so this morning, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to John. We're going to kind of bounce around a little bit, but we're going to be in John 16 and a little bit into 17 this morning. And kind of look at John 16 and a little bit into 17. with the lenses of how Jesus' life embodied these core values of prayer and praise. So John 16, I'm going to read a little bit actually in this passage of John 16. I'm going to start with verse 16. So John 16, 16, and kind of read through the end of the chapter there, and a little bit into 17, and kind of look at these three principles, if you will, for prayer and praise and from Jesus' life. So John 16, 16, and we'll pick up as follows. A little while, and you will see me no longer. Jesus is at the going towards the end of his life, and he's teaching the disciples about that. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And then again, a little while, you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? They were confused, obviously. We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him this, so he said to them, is what you are asking yourselves what I meant by saying, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is given birth, she has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish or joy that a human being has been born into this world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. No one will take your joy from you. And that day you will ask nothing from me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. So ask now, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 25. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. And the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say this to you, that I will ask the Father on your behalf. The Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. And I came from the Father and have come into the world. And now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Because the disciples said, ah, now you are speaking plainly. You're not using figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, and indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. And I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm going to read a few more verses in 17 and then talk a little bit about them. 17:1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And then he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all to whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. This is an amazing passage. I shared with you last week when we looked at John 15 that the chapters of John 14, 15, and 16 are, we know that it's towards the end of Jesus' life. It's called the farewell discourse, or Jesus' farewell teachings. And so these are very important. He knows he's about to depart. He knows he's going to die and be resurrected and ascend into heaven and leave these disciples. And they are plan A with no plan B to accomplish God's mission on earth. And so these teachings that he shares with them are very, very important. And he talks a lot about, and especially in chapter 16, about the role of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about prayer and staying connected to the vine and how to glorify God the Father. And then chapter 17 is this huge, long prayer that we have recorded of Jesus' time right before the cross. But in chapter 16, we have this, if you were to stand back and start with the end in mind, you'd see this idea of prayer and praise in Jesus' life. And so, I want to talk a little bit about these core values. And number one is this, is that prayer and praise are possible because of the gospel. Prayer and praise are possible because of the gospel. Jesus says, he does that little divine peekaboo, I guess is what I would call it. He says, a little while you will see me no longer, and then again a little while you will see me. And what is he talking about there? And he's basically saying, you know, in a little while you're not going to see me because I'm going to die. Then a little bit later, you're going to see me again because I'll be resurrected. And I'm going to show you and prove to you that I have the power over death and life, and that I truly am the Son of God, and that I truly am the one who paid for your sins. And through your faith in me, you will have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And that's basically what he's saying in a nutshell there. And he's saying that you will have opportunity, he goes on in these following verses to say that you will have opportunity to interact with God the Father. You will have opportunity to ask for things in my name, and I will answer you. But the reason why you will have access to the Father, the reason why you will have opportunity to pray and worship God and glorify the Father, is because of what I'm going to do for you. In other words, in the gospel, that we have the benefits of prayer and praise. And that is an amazing thing. We think about worship, times of worship, and we have times to worship here on Sunday morning. Kara and the worship team lead us into worship. How do we know that our words aren't just being spoken into thin air, and that our words just and our prayers aren't just hitting the ceiling and kind of like bouncing back and just staying in this room? How do we know that we are touching heaven? We're making a connection with the divine, with God the Father. How do we know that? We know that because of the gospel. We have access to God in heaven, and we join with heaven in worship and prayer because of what Christ has done for us. The scriptures say this, John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus says that when he goes, in the gospel, through your faith in Christ, in the gospel, he sends his presence to you. His Holy Spirit is in our lives. And he confirms that we have access to God. The Holy Spirit is in your life, and you're able to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for you. You're able to worship, and you feel that presence in worship that you feel. That's the Spirit of God inside of you. It's not because you have this warm little buzz inside of you or this little tingly feeling. No, that's not just a little tingly feeling or a holy buzz or something. That is the Spirit of God resonating inside of your heart and bearing witness with your spirit and saying, "You are my child. I love you. And I want you to know my love over and over and over again. I want you to know that I am faithful in your life. I want you to know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to know that I will never abandon you. I want you to know that I am there. I'm present." And that's what faith is all about. And that's what the Holy Spirit, that's the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, to remind you of prayer and praise and that access, that relationship that you have with God the Father. So prayer and praise are possible because of the gospel. One more scripture passage is Hebrews 10. It says that in verse 15, it says, "The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this, that after he had said, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them, and after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts, and I will write them on their minds.' Then he adds, 'As I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts.' Now where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." So he's talking about the role of the Spirit and because of the gospel. And then in verse 19 he says, "Therefore," here's the implications of the gospel, "Therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has inaugurated for us, through the curtain that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies are washed in pure water. So let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day draw near." It's the reminder to us that because of the gospel, because of what Christ has done for us, because we have access to God in heaven in prayer and praise, that we're to grow in that. And we talked a lot about last week of spiritual growth in our lives. But that's the reminder for us that of what prayer and praise does for us. It gives us access to God. God doesn't hear prayers of those who are unbelieving. Now, he hears prayers of unbelievers because how else would we be saved? But those who are constantly in rejection of him, God doesn't hear their prayers. God doesn't, he turns a deaf ear to them because they are rejecting him. So as believers, we have access to God. We know our prayers are heard. We know that when we praise him and glorify him, he's pleased with that. So that is the great reminder of the gospel. Number two is this, is that prayer and praise refine our perspective. This is very important. Prayer and praise refine our perspective. Jesus teaches in verses 19 through 33, he teaches that the gospel will bring glory to God, and it will aid us as disciples to do things and to see things through how God wants us to see them. He says that your sorrow will turn later into joy. And it's this swing of emotion that will happen in God's people, and it's the reminder of what the gospel does. It gives us a proper perspective on God's activity in the world. I mean, put yourself in the disciples' shoes. You spent 3 years with this man who claims to be God, and then publicly he's arrested, beaten, flogged, crucified, and he dies. And a great sorrow here, but when he's resurrected, it changes everything. Their sorrow turns into joy. And if Jesus is saying, in the gospel, and then in all of life, spread out in all of life, these values of prayer and praise, of connecting with me, and having access into heaven, and being able to commune with me through the Holy Spirit, you will be able to have a proper perspective on all of God's work in all of your life. And he was teaching and molding and preparing the disciples to see that in their life. A few weeks ago, your favorite football team, the Ravens, had a game, and they lost in the playoffs. And then the team, your arch rival, played in the following game, then in the Super Bowl. And boo, I know. And then I talked to my friend Tony over here. He's one of the great fans of the Ravens. And I asked Tony. I said, Tony, so in the Super Bowl, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for the Green Bay Packers, or are you rooting for the Steelers? And here's how Tony wisely put it to me. He said, Pastor Dave, he said, if Redskins were in the playoffs and they lost to the Dallas Cowboys, and then the Dallas Cowboys played against another team, who would you root for? Well, who would root for the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, come on. It's got to be really strange out there to root for the Dallas Cowboys. It totally makes sense to me. You put things in proper perspective for me, you know? And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's putting things in a proper perspective. He's saying, look, here's what's going to happen in the gospel. I'm going to die, but I'm also going to have the power over death, and I'm going to raise myself. And that is how you are to live your life, to have a proper perspective. And the way you do that is by elevating prayer and praise in your life. Worship has a great way of doing that, of kind of lifting you up and being able to see your life from the point of view of eternity. Instead of stuck down here in the mud and going through all the hardship and just seeing things right here, right now, prayer and praise have a way of lifting you up and seeing things through the lenses of God. Paul Miller has a great quote in his book, The Praying Life. He says this. He says, God takes everyone he loves through a desert. It's his cure for our wandering hearts, restlessly searching for a new Eden. The still, dry air of the desert brings the sense of helplessness that is so crucial to the spirit of prayer. You come face to face with your inability to live, to have joy, to do anything of lasting worth, and life crushes you. But desert life sanctifies you. You have no idea you are changing. You simply notice that after you've been in the desert for a while, that you are different. Things that used to be important no longer matter. The desert becomes a window to the heart of God. And you cry out to God so long and so often that a channel begins to open up between you and God. And so when you're driving, you turn off the radio just to be with God. At nighttime, you drift in and out of prayer while you're sleeping. Without even realizing it, you have learned to pray continuously. This clear, fresh water of God's presence that you discover in the desert becomes a well inside your heart. And the best gift of the desert is God's presence. And that is a powerful, powerful quote. And that's what Jesus embodies in his life. He knows he's about to go to the cross and experience all the anguish and suffering in the cross. But he's able to look at his life. He's able to look at his life and say, Father, not my will, but yours. He sees things from the point of view of eternity. He has that proper perspective of all of God's activity and his fingerprints running through his life. And that's how we are to view life as well. Prayer refine our perspective. This past weekend we had able to take off on Thursday and go down to North Carolina. And Danielle, her sister, lives in outside of North Carolina, a little town called Cary, North Carolina. And so we went down there on Thursday and had to see them and our nephews and spent some time. They had it recently had some birthdays. And so just celebrating with them, having some good family time. And saw some friends as well that went to school down in that area. And so saw some friends. So just had a good little getaway. Along the way, we had a little dinner with some of our friends. We ate at a Panera Bread in Raleigh, North Carolina there. And later on the next day, Danielle kind of got sick from probably something that she ate. And then later on in that afternoon, our daughter got sick. And for my wife, it was kind of a come-and-go situation, kind of, was just sick in the morning kind of thing, and it kind of passed. But for Alethea, my oldest daughter, it stayed with her from the afternoon all the way through the next night and into the next morning. And she had a hard time. We think that she kind of got some food poisoning or something from something that her and Danielle ate. They shared a French onion soup together and said both of them got sick. So we think that's what it was. So we came home early. Long story short, we came home early. And Saturday was just like a recovery day for Lathia. She was, she was able to finally hold some things down, gave her the Pedialyte. She was kind of regained, but she was just very lethargic throughout the whole day. And just laying on the couch and things. We had our time with a little family worship, and so got out the Bible and reading the Bible with me and Lacey on each side of me on the couch, and reading our Bible story, and for whatever reason, we read a Bible story, and they're always like, one more, Daddy, one more. So we end up reading a couple stories, and then after the Bible story, we pray, and we sing some songs and things, and so we were praying, and normally Lacey and I would kind of prays the same prayer every night. We kind of have a little routine that we kind of do. And last night, she kind of went outside of the box of that prayer that she normally prays. And so she normally doesn't do this too much. I mean, every now and then, but when she does, I kind of find some significance in what she's praying. And she prayed her normal prayer, and then she prayed, God, help me to feel better, and I know that you're powerful and can help me. And she just went on and on and on and on about that, about God to heal her and help her to feel better and take care of her and take care of mom and everybody else. And she just kept on praying that sort of thing. Going through all that we went through with her getting food poisoning was not very pleasant, quite honestly. I could give you the story, but you wouldn't like it. But to hear her pray that last night was just, it hit me. Because it was a reminder that she was beginning to see life the psalmist had understood this as well. The psalmist in Psalm 37 was able to look at life circumstances and be able to see things from the point of God. Psalm 37, do not be agitated by evildoers. In other words, when you look around the world and you see wrong and injustice, don't fret. Don't envy about those who do wrong. For they wither quickly like grass, and they wilt like tender green plants. Trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn and your justice like noonday. Be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for him. Do not be agitated by one who prospers in his way, by the man who carries out evil plans. Refrain from anger and give up your rage. Do not be agitated. It can only bring harm. For evildoers will be destroyed, but those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And what prayer and praise helps you to see things from God's perspective. Mesh that with what we looked at last week in John 15, the fact that we're to stay connected to the vine. We're the branches. We're to stay connected to the vine. And sometimes the Father chooses to prune the branches so that we can bear more fruit. We're pruned in our lives so that we can bear more fruit. Sometimes we have to go through hardship, but when we go through it with the values and the practices of prayer and praise, we're pruned to be tuned to God. God prunes us so that we can be tuned by him and for him, so that we can be of more use to him in the future. Pruned to be tuned. I don't know, it just kind of makes you remember that, but that's what God does, and that's what prayer and praise does. It refines our perspective to be able to be useful for God. But one more. Prayer and praise accomplish God's work. In chapter 17, I want to encourage you sometime this week to grab your Bible and just go through John chapter 17. It's one long prayer. It's really interesting to take a note of all of the things that Jesus prays for. He prays for the disciples. He prays for future believers, which he's praying for you and I in there. He prays, and how he prays for those disciples and how he prays for the other believers. It's very interesting. It's an interesting study to look at. We don't have time to do all that this morning, but one thing I know in verse 4, he says, as he's about to begin this prayer, he says, Father, I glorify you on earth, and I have accomplished all of the work that you gave me to do. I think about that in life sometimes. Is, you know, you go through an entire day, and you kind of get to the day, like, did I get anything done today, you know? Jesus, when he gets to the end of his day, when he gets towards the end of his life, he says, Father, I have accomplished all that you gave me to do. I mean, how amazing is that? And that's what prayer and praise do. Prayer and praise help us to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish in our life. It helps us to accomplish God's work in our life. I think in my greatest fear as a pastor, as a Christian, is that I get more concerned about the doing of pastoral ministry than the being and the idea of prayer and praying. You see, it's very easy to get caught up in all the, you know, making visitations, you know, going to visit people, doing all the office work and administration, all the things that go on with pastoral ministry. But to forget to spend time before the Father in prayer and to pray about those things. And I think that's the same for your life as well. That so often you get caught up in the doing of ministry and forget or undervalue the aspect of, and the power of prayer in our lives. Oswald Chambers says, prayer does not fit us for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. He has a great devotion about that. But I love that line, that quote, prayer does not fit us for the greater works. Prayer is the greater work. It's a reminder that prayer and praise are very vital to our Christian lives and to all that we're going to do to accomplish God's work. So we get to the end of this and we say, you know, big deal, what's the point? We have a good discussion, some interesting thoughts, but what's the point behind all of this? Do you truly want to know God? Seriously, do you truly, truly, truly want to know God? A passionate pursuit and relationship? Well, if you do, then you're going to value prayer and praise. You truly want to understand why things happen in your life. You truly want to just have answers and to gain some understanding about why you are the way you are and why you do the things that you do and why things happen in this world. And you'll truly value prayer and praise. Doesn't mean that you'll have all the answers at once, but it becomes a process to understand God's perspective in this world. And then thirdly is this, is do you really want to have a life? Do you really want to have a life that has impact? I mean, do you really want to have a life that is going somewhere, that has the purpose and the power to have an impact on the world around you? Well, if so, you're going to value prayer and praise. Because that is the method and the practice of how God accomplishes things in this world. See, God wants us to be dependent on Him. And when His church, is tired of the same old, and tired of doing things in our own power and in our own strength and our own wallets, our own budgets, when we're tired of that, and we become dependent upon God, and we seek His face in prayer, and invite and ask and beg on His power to show up in our lives and in our church, that's when God does amazing things. And that's when we have a life of impact. That's when we know God is here and He's doing a great work amongst us. And so that is the big deal. Do you want to know God? Do you want to understand your life better? Do you want to have a life of impact? Well, value these two things. Value prayer and praise. I'm going to pray. And I want to invite you to respond to that. I don't know exactly how you're to respond, to be quite honest. I thought a lot about that. And so I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit to convict your heart. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to kind of share with you where you need to go on that. Maybe there's an elevation and a greater value in your life of prayer and praise that needs to happen. Maybe there's something tangible and specific that needs to happen. Maybe some sort of decision or commitment or some sort of thing that needs to happen or to share that with somebody else. If you need prayer, I will be here and I will gladly pray for you. Some of our other deacons will. If you want to bring somebody else and pray with them and make these steps like an altar and just kind of connect with the Lord and make it seal it with them, you're welcome to do that. We're going to sing the response song is Take My Life. And it's a wonderful hymn. Here's the line. Here am I, take my life, all of me, and it's all for thee. And what a great response that we can sing unto the Lord. And so when we sing this response, make it your prayer. You know, don't let it just be words that are just coming out of your mouth, but really let it be the prayer of your heart. And that we value prayer and respond to Him as He leads you. If you want to trust Christ, now is your time as well this morning. Come worship team as I pray. Father, we are so thankful, God, for your grace, that we have access unto you, and that you give us the confidence, God, that we can enter in with full assurance, God, that you hear our prayers. And so, God, we boldly come before you this morning, asking you, God, to show up. We boldly come and ask, God, that you would speak to all of our hearts, God, and move us to faith, move us to obedience, move us to a life that has impact on the world around us. And we know, God, that only happens when we are tired of living life in the doldrums of ourself and depending on ourself. And God, that we repent and turn away of that. We seek your forgiveness. And God, that we would bask in your grace and move in the way of your Spirit. And that we would walk in it. So God, we pray, God, that there would be revival that would happen. God, in our hearts, in our worship of you. And God, help our church, Lord, to truly, truly not just say these and put these on a piece of paper that say we value prayer and praise, but they would become a reality for us. And help us to see the steps that need to happen, God, for that to happen as well. God, respond. Help us to respond in a way that would be pleasing and glorifying unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and respond to the Lord. Sing unto him.
Savior,